Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 and 39. Put your hand there and then turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I want to speak to you today about cheek and feet Christianity. Cheek and feet Christianity. You know, many of the sayings of Jesus Christ were very hard. Many of the doctrines that he taught caused people to stop following him. Jesus, in these particular passages of Scripture, we find in Matthew chapter 5 and in John chapter 13, told us that the characteristics of Christianity, paralleled in these two passages of Scripture, are that his people would turn the other cheek and wash one another's feet. I believe in a turn cheek, wash feet Christianity. You know, we live in a day where God's people meet to hear a word from the Lord. Well, they want to hear a word from the Lord, but they don't want to hear the word of the Lord. I'm afraid too many Christians today are saying, you know, they're praying to the Lord, they're calling out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, forgive us, for we know not what we do. But don't tell us what to do." Jesus made the characteristics of Christianity very clear and very concise. I'm afraid we're missing the mark. The elements that are missing in Christianity, some of the primary elements of Christianity, provided to us in these passages of Scripture, need to resurface in the church of the true and living God, were that we would once again exhibit a turn the other cheek attitude and a humility where we're willing to serve one another by washing one another's feet. Jesus taught us these were the characteristics of Christianity. They're the two perhaps most extreme aspects. These are some extraordinary passages of Scripture. But keep in mind, they are not just things that Jesus told us to do. They are things that Jesus did himself. And if we are really Christians, which means that we are Christ-like, that we're endeavoring or striving to be like Jesus Christ. I believe we need to be like Jesus Christ in order to legitimately hold the name Christian. I'm going to begin reading in the 13th chapter of John. Maybe these are some of the sayings that are going to cause you to no longer walk with the Lord. You know, Jesus taught on one occasion, he was teaching some very hard doctrinal things. And because of his hard doctrinal teaching, the Bible says that there were many that no longer followed him. They went away. They deserted him. They left him because his doctrines were so rigid. He looked to the disciples on that occasion and said, "Will you also go away? People, where can we go? Jesus has the words of eternal life." We need to follow the sayings of Jesus Christ. We need to keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be striving by the aid of the Holy Spirit and through the grace that God gives us, match up, correspond. Christianity should correspond with the sayings of Jesus Christ. With his teaching, with his doctrine, with the Holy Word of God, our lives should correspond with "Thus saith the Lord." I'm going to begin reading. We know these passages of Scripture. And I think I'm just going to capitalize upon the latter part, the teaching of this passage. We find in 13th chapter of John in verse 12. We do realize that Jesus washed the dirty feet of the disciples. Y'all all believe that, don't you? I don't have to go over this. I don't have to read starting in verse 1. If you'll raise your hand and say you believe that, I won't start at verse 1. Raise your hand. Jesus washed the dirty feet of the disciples. Yeah. Even the feet
of Judas Iscariot, knowing full well this man was going to betray him.
Now, let me ask you this, okay. How many people here this morning are really following the Lord? I mean, you really consider Jesus your example. Do you really consider Him your example? Do you consider Him your master, your Lord? Do you acknowledge Him this morning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do we acknowledge Him this morning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Okay. They also acknowledged Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That was why Peter had such reservations and hesitations about Him washing His feet. But Jesus began here in these passages to teach us something. Let's learn, beginning in verse 12.
So after that He had washed their feet and had taken His garment and was sat down, He said unto them, "Know you what I have done to you?" Do you know what I have just done? Do you realize what I have just done? Now, what had Jesus done here? He had served them. He took the apron. He got the basin and the water. He got down on His knees and He washed their dirty feet. And then He asked them, "Do you realize what I have just done? The kind of example I have just set for you, and not only for them, but also for us." What an example that Jesus, the Lord of glory, the King of Kings, the one who is your master, the one you're supposed to be serving, got down and washed their feet. And I believe He has on occasions washed your feet. Oh, He's put up with some pretty stinky stuff from you. Yeah, there's been some rotten stuff that He's had to deal with in your life. Amen? He says, "Do you realize what I've done? The kind of example I have just set forth? You call me master." Do we call Him master today? Now let me, as I go through these passages, let me make just one point that's very important. Those of you that have not been saved, I want you to realize that these characteristics are not something that we can manufacture within ourselves. To be a servant to others, even when they don't respect you or they don't deserve to be served. To have the kind of humility, to have the spiritual fortitude, to have the kind of attitude like Jesus Christ where you can turn the other cheek. It's not something that is natural. It is supernatural. Amen? It is something it's beyond just something we make up in our mind. What these principles set forth is there must be a spiritual radical change to take place deep inside of you because of the death of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. You must be born again of the Spirit if you ever fulfill and you carry out the principles of God's Word. There must be a change. Not just a natural change that you, not some reform that takes place or happens to you because of you. There must be a transformation. You must be transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And if you have never been saved by the grace of God, you won't understand why people or how people can do this. Why would they even want to? Well, it's because you just lost and you've not been saved. Amen? The greatest witness of the first century church, and we looked at this a little bit Wednesday night, is the ability of God's people to be persecuted, to even die for the Lord Jesus Christ without any retaliation. To suffer for the name of Jesus without any feelings of revenge, without any feelings of antagonism, but just a heart full of love. That was a powerful witness in the first century church. And it's a witness I'm afraid is missing in the church today. These are not principles that are taught in any other group, but the group that Jesus called out to be His church. Let me notice. He says, you call me master. You call me Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. Jesus was their master. He was their Lord. But notice the example that he had set in the church. He says, if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. Now, when Jesus gave us a specific example, it's something that we should carry out in our everyday life. People, we are servants of one another. If we don't exemplify an attitude of servitude, then we are not the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor are we carrying out the kind of example that he set forth in the church. We should be willing. You might say, well, you know, your feet aren't dirty. No, my feet aren't dirty. I washed them this morning, thank you. But there are occasions in my life where you can serve me and I can serve you. And there must be a spirit of servitude in our hearts, or we are not carrying out the example of the Lord. He said, If I, your master, would bow down and wash your feet and become a servant, you should be willing to bow down and serve one another. Amen. Now, there are many opportunities and occasions that we are letting slip us by when we need to be serving one another. Ooh. Oh, come on. Did you get that? Do you believe that? That there are occasions that we are letting slip us by where we need to be following the example of Jesus Christ and serving one another? When's the last time you turned the other cheek or washed a brother's feet? When's the last time? Now, this example that he gave them, this was a common practice of that day. Normally, you know, they picked up dust on their sandals from the dirty roads, and when they went into somebody's house, it was just typical hospitality for the servant to come and to cleanse your feet. The hospitable thing to do. It corresponded with their culture. And there are ways that we need to serve one another and wash one another's feet that corresponds with our culture. I'm talking about a spiritual foot washing. He embedded in the church of the true living God a spirit of servitude. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 25, he says, the disciple is not above his master. Amen. Jesus would be willing to serve us, and we should be willing to serve one another. Amen. It's missing. Oh, how it's missing today. He says, if I then, your master, have washed your feet, you also ought to be willing to serve one another. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Now, let me say this. I realize that we have brethren, we have churches that hold a ceremony of foot washing in church capacity. Now, I think it's wrong to do that as an ordinance. Okay? If they hold that to the same level as baptism of the Lord's Supper, I think that's wrong. Amen? They wouldn't be able to fellowship us because we don't do it. Right? And I don't see anything wrong with that. If they want to do that, they want to meet together and wash one another's clean feet, that's fine. Okay? But if they do not carry out this spirit in reality, there was a real need here. Jesus met a real need in their lives. And we should meet one another's real needs in life. Amen. And be servants of one another. And really serve one another. Like the Lord served the disciples. He said, the way I've just served you, you serve one another. Meet one another's real needs. People, we are not doing this. Are you listening to me, church? Why can't we rise to the power of the early church? I'll tell you why. We are not carrying out the principles of God's holy word. A spirit of turning the other cheek and washing one another's feet is missing from the church of the true living God. Oh, I am too busy. Well, if you're too busy to serve your brother or sister, you're just too busy. This is not a principle in society. You know, this is not the attitude of America. It's get all you can and can all you can get in our society. Do whatever it takes and abuse whoever you have to. But that is not the spirit of Christ. Nor should it be the spirit of the church. All right, let me finish this reading because I need to get to Matthew chapter 5. I was afraid this would take a lot longer, and it's taken a lot longer than I anticipated. Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Well, we know now. No excuse for ignorance now. You know it. You know why you're going to be a sad, miserable Christian? Because you're not carrying out the attitude of a servant in your daily Christian walk. Do we seek opportunities to serve one another? Do we? Do we really? Happiness, joy. I believe we would have more Christian joy and more Christian happiness if we would just live like Christians. Man, this is not hard, okay? It's not hard. We just simply need to do it. There's nothing wrong with Christianity. You just haven't tried it yet. There is a joy. There is a fulfillment. There's a happiness in serving not only the Lord, but one another. There's a void deep down inside every Christian that only servitude can fill. Are you with me? Oh, if we would just get to that place to where we realize that our service, our service to one another is service to the Lord. Do you realize that the proverb says when we lend to the Lord, and when we lend to the poor, when we give to the poor, we've lended to the Lord? Do you realize that that Jesus told us that if you do to the weakest, to the youngest of my children, you've done it also unto me. Amen. That when we do for one another, we're also metaphorically doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The impact that should have upon our lives. This servitude attitude needs to be reestablished in the church. Okay, turn to Matthew chapter 5 for my text. I'm sorry, this is taking a lot longer. I meant to talk to you this morning about the characteristics, the commitment of Christianity, the self-control contained within Christianity. My friend, if you don't get a grip and tone it down a notch or two after you get saved, if the Holy Spirit doesn't dominate and rule your life in what you say and how you live, and your anger must be suppressed by the power of God, or you've got a serious problem with your Maker. Amen. Christianity is an attitude of humility. Jesus said, let me read for you. These are the characteristics of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The King of Kings spoke these things and he preached these things and said, now these are going to be the characteristics of the kingdom that I'm going to set up. The characteristics of the kingdom are to correspond with the sayings of Jesus Christ. Notice here, verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, That you resist not evil. Wait a minute. Hold on there. Resist not evil? Huh? Don't retaliate against evil? The evil that's done to you? Did Jesus retaliate against the false accusations made against him? Wasn't he like a lamb dumb before his shears and opened not his mouth? Could not he have called on 12 legion of angels? See, I don't believe not only to rescue him, but to destroy them. Huh? Did not he have that power? He said in this passage, and this is something that we're going to have to reckon with. It's time we start reckoning with the Word of God. It's time that if we profess Christianity, that we correspond with the conditions and the characteristics of it.
Read this next passage. All right. I just want to read this verse 39, Matthew chapter 5. All right, listen to it. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Wow. This is an extraordinary principle, isn't it? That's not taught in the Muslim religion. The Quran teaches for those that practice Muslim religion to destroy all those that oppose them. You know, that's not something we necessarily teach in our society, and neither is this something that I expect our law enforcement officers to do, okay, as they are in a state of power to fulfill and carry out, as taught in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, those judicial things. This is not a judicial or a civil law. This is a Christian law. This is something with respect to a personal thing. There are personal, individual situations where you should turn the other cheek and thus fulfill the laws of Christ. This is not a Western philosophy at all. Western civilization doesn't teach that. This is not a spirit of America. This love your enemy is exclusively a spirit of Christianity. He goes on in these passages and tells us that we should love our enemies. Look in verse 43. Thou shalt love your neighbor and hate thy enemy is what they were teaching. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. Are we really supposed to do this? Huh? Now let me say this. This turn the other cheek does not apply. I'm going to put a couple of disclaimers here. It doesn't apply to our judicial or governmental aspects. I don't think we should turn another cheek to terrorism. This is Christianity. Not our government. Not civil. It's personal. You know? I also do not believe that this is having reference to self-defense. I think or the protection of your family. I'm putting a couple of disclaimers here, okay? I think we should protect our families. Amen. You know, somebody comes in and threatens us with our families, with bodily harm, we ought to get between them and the evil. All right? Then you better resist that evil. And most of these, you know, When you go into Canada, when you cross over the line, when you go through customs, if you say you're from Tennessee, you know what the first question they ask you is? Do you have a gun? I wouldn't advise you to break into a Baptist home, okay? A lot of these Baptists have some big guns. Just thought you might note that, okay? But this is a personal situation. There are occasions where we as Christians should not retaliate. There are situations where we're not to be revengeful. This statement here in verse 38, if you look up all of these passages of Scripture about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that was a law that was given to the judges of Israel. Okay, that was how they were to judge matters that came before them. That was a law implemented to judges, to civil government. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus was establishing that, and the Jews had to some degree, because of Roman persuasion, and I can't get into all that, but because the Roman government had basically taken control over them,
in a lot of judicial matters, they had trickled this down to a personal level where that they could use an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth on a personal scale. And Jesus said, it is not going to happen within my kingdom. Within my kingdom, there's going to be a spirit of love and humility where we will love our enemies and we will pray for those that despitefully use us. He had said earlier in verse 20 of this fifth chapter, and here's the point, okay? He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. See that in verse 20? If your righteousness doesn't exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, what did he say in that passage? You shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to get to go to heaven, my friend, unless there's something extraordinary in you that causes you to do some extraordinary things. Huh? Yes. What Jesus was teaching us is very plain, very simple. That the only way we can suffer these things is to have something within us. That there's a grace that God provides. I believe the martyrs, that when they gave their lives, that there was a grace upon them that allowed them to do it. These are the characteristics. These are the things that should correspond with present day Christianity. But I'm afraid it's missing in a lot of the churches of Jesus Christ. I heard a man tell me one time about a situation where he's a preacher, a pastor, and he had taken a church in a new area. And some of the members of the congregation had told him about a man that lived down the road and that was very mean, very wicked, and how that the preacher probably should avoid him. The man had caused him some trouble in the past, or caused the church some trouble in the past, and some of the members of the congregation had recommended that he avoid this mean, wicked man. One day as the pastor was praying, the Lord spoke to him and impressed upon his heart to go talk to the man that the congregation had warned him about. Well, he's much like me. You know, knowing better than to just, you got to obey the Lord, right? So he went to the man, knocked on the door. Man came to the door and he said, look, he said, I just moved to this area. I'm a pastor down here at this Baptist church. He said, I just wanted to invite you to church. He said, I felt impressed to come here and invite you. The man started cussing him. Finally just slammed the door in his face. Well, the pastor kind of expected that. A few weeks went by. And one day as he was praying down to church again, an impression came to him of the Lord to go talk to this man. You know, and have you ever kind of received those impressions from the Lord and you start saying, now Lord, okay, let me talk to you about this. Let's reason this thing out. But he couldn't get away from the impression. And so he went back to the man's house. And he just told him in great fear and humility, he said, you know, I felt impressed to come back. And he said, I don't know why the Lord wants me to come here and to just talk to you and explain to you the gospel. Maybe there's some things that you don't understand. The man began to say, I know about what goes on down at that Baptist church. I know about you people, you bunch of hypocrites. And just spit in his face. As the spit was running down the side of his cheek, the Baptist preacher said, okay, I understand. Walked down the driveway. Well, a couple of weeks went by. While the preacher was praying, the Lord said, go back. Talk to that man. Oh, Lord, didn't you say to shake the dust from our feet? Isn't enough enough? Lord, this must be from the devil. Have you ever done that? An impression from the Lord. Let me assure you, the devil's not going to try to get you to go and witness to somebody. That's an impression from the Lord. All right, don't be stupid. Be smarter than that. Well, he couldn't get away from it. And in great fear, he went back to that man's house. Knocked on the door one more time. Y'all have heard me tell this story. It's a true story. He was almost trembling. The man opened the door, looked at him. His eyes got big and wide. He said, hadn't you had enough? The preacher in humility said, the Lord has sent me here with tears streaming down his face. He said, I need to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the wicked man said, share on. And the man got saved. And his life was transformed. I tell you, we've got something more powerful than the evil of this world. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, he said, overcome evil with good. We need to do just that. There should be something within us that is not of us that enables us to overcome evil with good. There's something deep down inside of me that from time to time allows me, enables me. It's the grace of God, I know. Because when I was a young man, I would tie into you quicker than you could bat an eye. But there's something within me now, oh my friend, that is of the Lord, that enables me from time to time to turn the other cheek. There are occasions in my life where I'm able to get on my knees and with my tears wash people's feet. I'm telling you, there are times in my life where I can serve people, and though they don't appreciate it nor acknowledge it, I can go away from there knowing that the Lord knows all about it. And I was serving Him, amen. I was serving Him while I was serving you, amen. Do y'all have that in you? Don't you feel that from time to time? If that's missing from your Christian walk, you need to repent and get on the same page as the rest of us that are trying to serve the Lord. Amen. That our Christianity correspond with cheek and feet Christianity. Let's turn the other cheek. There, I know it's hard. Hey, suck it up. Our Lord took a lot for you. He was smitten on the face with a rod. Yes, He was hung on a cross for you. He suffered for you. And He expects us to suffer for Him. You look there in Romans chapter 12. Let me read a little of that. Have you really suffered for the Lord? If we're going to reign with Him, we're going to have to suffer for Him. Do you have that in you? If that's missing from your Christianity, it's missing. You're missing Christ. I'm sorry. I was going to have to preach it the way the Bible teaches it. Yes. Let's read just a few of these passages and I'll close, okay? He says in these passages, he says this. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Let me skip down. He says this. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Now that's our tendency. That is our nature. Hey, you do me in, I'll do you in. You don't know who you're messing with here. Yeah, there was a man one time that was abusing his wife, mistreating her. And the wife had sought counsel from me. And I'll be honest with you, I told him, I said, look, I'm not going to come and fight you or nothing like that, okay? But I'm going to take it to the Lord and He can take you out. Amen? I said, you know what I'm going to pray? That either you straighten up or God get a hold of you in such a way that He just eliminates you. Now that's, I tell you what, vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay. Listen, messing with me is nothing. When you go messing with God, you're messing with something a lot bigger than you. A lot stronger than you. Amen? And so he says here, now look, you just exhibit the Christian spirit. Christ knows all about it. He knows your circumstance. He knows the conditions of your circumstance. Notice here, all right? He said this, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible as such, as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give, listen here, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God bless you is my prayer. The word works. God's system will work if you'll just try it. Those of you that don't have a clue, cheek and feet Christianity, listen, there's a cheap imitation Christianity out there. Oh, it's available. Yeah. They won't teach you cheek and feet Christianity. Just come and get what you can get. If there has not been something, and that's that new life, that Holy Spirit, something that got a hold of you when you got saved that has worked on your flesh and changed you and continues to work to transform you into the image of His dear Son, you need to seriously examine what you've got. Amen? Cheek and feet Christian. If you'll stand.